Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Next level knowledge, how to change the world. If I can draw your attention to verse 6 of Acts chapter 1. In verse 6 it says, then they gathered around Jesus and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I'm sorry, but this is an excellent question. It's a great question to ask God. It's a question, if we're honest, it's a question that we pose. It's a question that we think about, that question, especially at this moment. For them, and I'll throw this on the screens for you, for them, the question is a sign of faith. Yeah, you can make an argument up until this point that they've always been doubting Jesus. They've always been doubting his power and doubting what he's actually able to do. And they leave him. Now he is resurrected from the dead. He has appeared in front of them. They're like, all right, now we know you the Christ. I know Peter said you the Christ. I know he said that. But I tell you what, my Lord and my God, Thomas talked a bunch of junk, said, unless I put my hand in his hands and finger in his hands and hands in his side, I won't believe. All that stuff has happened. They're barely even in faith now. Their faith has now been confirmed by sight. It can happen. I don't know if you've ever been there where you had faith and then something came through. You had faith and then favor took place. And now you at a whole nother level. The question itself implies their confidence in Christ. The faith implies that their doubts are gone. The question implies that they're not wondering anymore. The question implies that they acknowledge that he is all powerful. That they acknowledge that ain't nobody like him. The question is saying, God, you a bad somebody. Jesus, you are a bad somebody. I need a witness. He's a wonder. Oh, yes, he is. He's a wonder to my soul. Can nobody do me like Jesus? That's what they're singing, son. They're singing, can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, yes, he is. That's what they're singing. They're saying, not only is he the Messiah, he's my friend. I know this dude. I'm close. Peter's like, oh, I wasn't claiming him a few weeks ago. I wasn't claiming him a little while ago when they was killing everybody, but I'm claiming him now. This is my boy. That's my dog. This is Jesus. I know him. We are close. Jesus, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, God, are you going to change the world? God, are you going? You done a lot of healing. You done a lot of miracles. You done helped a lot of people. You done fed 5,000. You done a lot of stuff. But now that you are resurrected from the dead, now that you have shown all power is in your hand, now that you've shown that you're the God of the dead and the living, now that you've shown that there's nothing too hard for you, now that you've shown that death and life is in your hands, now that you've shown that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, now that you've shown you bad like this, now that you have shown that death can't stop you, woo, God, are you now going to change the world? My God, that question relates to us. I'm sorry, that question relates to us. That's the question we ask him. We're saying, God, are you going to change the world or what? Praise God for church, but are you going to change the world? Praise God for my little situation, but are you going to change the world? Multiple people are asking this question. Part of the turmoil that our country is in the middle of. And now with the man is out of office and we're trying to impeach him. The part of the reason why white Christians and white evangelicals are so adamant, and many of the folk that stormed the Capitol are supposed to be Christians, is because they have an expectation for God to change the world. There's black folk who have an expectation for God to change the world. They're like the prophet who says, "Why, Lord, why do you make me look at destruction and don't do nothing about it? My God, Lord, why is it that I've got to look at ruthless people? Why do there are multiple people in the Bible who ask God that question. Lord, if you're right, if you got far be it from you to do such a thing. Why, Lord, why do bad things happen to good people? Lord, when are you going to change the world? Poor people want to know. Church is great, but when is God going to change my world? When is God going to put favor on me? When is God going to change the system? Rich people, multiple people are asking that question. Folk who have faith, folk who are looking at God are asking the Lord, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Meaning, are you going to make the world line up with kingdom? What are all the marches and all the fusses and all the anger, all of the rhetoric and all of it, I get it, I understand it, is that the Christians in particular around the world, especially here in America, for y'all that are watching us in America, a part of what the battle is about, I fully understand it, is that there are Christians that feel like the country is skewing in a way that's not godly. And so they are looking at Jesus, they are looking at God, they have an expectation from their prayer life that not only will God bless them, but that he will change the world. That's their question. Aren't you going to right the wrongs? Don't you see where our country's going? Don't you see where Nigeria's going? Don't you see what's going on in Ghana? Lord, don't you see what's happening in Canada? Lord, don't you see what's going on here in Australia? Lord, don't you see what's going on in America? You're really going to let this abortion thing go? You're really going to let homosexuals do this? You're really going to let the world go this way? You're really going to let family, are you really going to let homelessness, you really going to let that, what, if there's a God, then why are there people killed in a tsunami? And why is there people that are living in places where there's no food? And if there's a God, the expectation is, it's almost even a test for God. Is, Lord, are you at this time going to do some restoration? Who am I talking to today? I know that I have to admit, in all of my praying, I'm like, yeah, but Lord, I want you to turn it around. I want you to make something happen. I want you to make it rain. I want you to make it easy. I want you to make folk favorable. I want you to open up a door. I want you to make a way. God, I want you to change the culture. When I look at our culture, I'm just talking here in America, African Americans, my people. I'm not, y'all in Africa, we're your brothers. I'm not talking about just us. I'm like, Lord, what you gonna do? God, you gonna have to do something to help us. You have to do something. Are you at this time gonna make it so that we're not just shot in the street like dogs by Lord, are you gonna right the wrong? Isn't that what we were taught to pray? We were taught to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We were taught that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's what we were taught. I was raised by a prayer warrior. My daddy's a prayer warrior. My brother is a prayer warrior. You know what's interesting about my daddy as a prayer warrior and my brother as a prayer warrior, and even the prayer warriors that are here with us, like Paul McLaughlin, the elder, and Pastor Al. You know what's interesting about them is that they are some of the most disciplined, hardworking, intentional, serious men I know. There's a whole lot of us that were raised or be around prayer warriors or intercessors who were some of the laziest people, my God, some of the craziest people, because they almost made it seem as if prayer is what you replace for work. But I'm sorry, the prayer warriors that I was raised by and the prayer warriors that I have in this house that help to cover you and all of you that are watching around the world, they are consistent people. They are faithful men. They understand that there's a prayer part to it, but there's also I got to do my work and I got to do my job and I got to walk uprightly and I got to be faithful and I got to get up, go to work every day. I got to eat right. Don't nobody pray like my daddy, but don't nobody eat like my daddy neither. You ask my dad, how are you doing that? He'll tell you I'm praying. And then I want to come in and say, yeah, but also you're jogging. Also you drink water. Also you basically just eat grass. Basically you and my mother just eat bird seed. That's all y'all eat. Yeah, sure. Of course prayer is covering you from high blood pressure. But that ain't the only thing. The question is, okay, I know. That's what I was taught. That's what you were taught. To pray to change the world. And it's caused me to ask the question, and I'm trying to get to it. I got about 25 minutes left. And that is, yeah, I mean, how do I change the world? How do you really change the world? Isn't that the point, Pastor Andy? I mean, you just finished saying it's a good question. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you saying that's a good question? How do you really change the world? There's a show that I've been watching. My brother, Pastor Matt in Boston, turned me on to this show. And I've been watching this show. And it's called Alone. Called Alone. I don't know if you heard of it. It's on History Channel, but it's on demand. I think it's on Hulu, too. And it's called Alone. The basic premise of the show is they drop 10 kind of wilderness survival people on some deserted wilderness island place, and they're all separated from each other by miles, and then they're there alone. They have their own camera. There's no camera crew with them. It's just them with the camera, and they are there surviving. And they know how to make fires. They know how to build shelters. They know how to trap. They know how to catch fish. They know. And it's who can survive the longest. Whoever's there the longest wins. But they don't know when the other ones drop out. They have like a satellite phone. They can hit the button and drop out. Or if they get hurt, they can come get picked up. But they're all separated from each other, so they don't know. It's just how long can you make it? My God, how long can you last? How long can you survive? It is an endurance challenge. It is a, can you adapt? Can you survive in situations that aren't ideal? And can you do it by yourself? Oh, God, that's not even my point. Some of us just need folk too much. We just need people way too bad. We gotta have mama, and we gotta have cousins, and we gotta have friends, and we gotta have church. I'm amazed at how many people can't do this. This is a test. It's incredible to me how many folk can't do church if they're not around other people. Look, I miss all of you too, and I know you miss me and miss one another. But you ought to be able to be saved enough to stream church for a year and not die. I was watching the show. I watch it, boy. My girl watch it with me. And we were watching it. And I can't remember who it was, and one of the guys, but one of the guys said, one of the dudes who was really making it, he gave us a nature lesson. I'm going to throw it on the screens for you. And the nature lesson that he said was, when you can't change the world, you have to change you. He said, sometimes nature will teach you. Sometimes, even with all of your skills and all your abilities and all who you think you are, you will face a moment, a place, a time, a minute in nature, in the world, where you'll realize you can't really change the world. And what you really have to do is change you. In other words, and I'll throw it on the screens for you, world change starts with self change. World change starts with self change. Next level knowledge. How do I change the world? Well, what I'm saying to you and what I'm suggesting that Jesus is saying in both of these passages is, honestly, why are you so focused on changing the world? What you really need to do first is think about changing yourself. Even if you can change the world, world change starts with self change. Can't change the world if you can't grow. Can't change the world if you can't be better. Can't change your baby if you can't change yourself. Can't make your marriage better if you can't grow. Woo-hoo. You can't make more money if you can't change. You can't be more successful if you... So many of us are praying for God to step on in. Come on, Jesus. Move. Make a way where this seems... But Jesus is saying, yeah, but before you start with the world, can you start with you? I know what you know I'm going to say next. I'm going to throw it on the screen for you anyway because it's a truth. And the truth is that self-change requires power. Self-change requires power. I would suggest to you for your consideration that when Jesus talks about Holy Ghost power, the first thing he talks about changing is us. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, he says, there's some stuff that you're not going to know. There's going to be some prophecies that will cease. There's going to be some tongues that will be stilled. There's going to be some knowledge that will fall away. You're going to find out you were wrong. You just knew up and down Jesus was coming at this point. You just knew up and down this was going to happen. You just swore up and down this guy was going to win the election. But there's some things that it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the dates or the times. Ooh, we don't like that. We really don't like that, son, because we want dates and times. We want the Lord to tell us when he going to break through and when am I going to meet my husband, when am I going to meet this wife, and when am I going to get my own business, and when am I going to... We want when. We definitely want time stuff. We put time stamps. We put time limits on God. It's got to be done in our lifetime. We don't even have the faith or the clarity to realize that, like Dr. King said, maybe I won't get there with you, but y'all keep going after I die. That question is, Lord, is it time? And Jesus says, you're not always going to know the times. You're not always going to know the dates. Be careful about folk who quote you dates too correctly. Them are the folks who are the most super deep, spiritual, spooky, don't know what they're talking about. It's amazing to me how unsuccessful sure people are. They come to me, well, Pastor Andy, God has called me to start my church, Everlasting Life Abundant Tabernacle of Praise in the City of Our God Incorporated on April 17th, 2022. I'm like, really? How do you know that so easy? How are you so sure? Jesus is in there saying, yeah, I mean, it's not really for you to know the dates and times the Father has set by his own authority. There's some stuff you're not going to know when it's going to happen. Stop trying to overly plan it. I got to move on. I'm stuck on this, meddling on this point. This is one of the challenges of my millennial children. I love y'all to death, but you overplan.
then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to get my master's, and then I'm going to work on my PhD, and while I'm working on my PhD, then I'm going to meet this man, and he's going to be 6'4", and he's going to have big feet and long fingers, and then we're going to wait 3 years, and then we're going to have 2 children, and the first child I'm going to name Josiah. You are way too sure. You better grab the dude when he rolled through. What if he rolled through your freshman year? What if he rolled through your junior year? You better be careful not to let that. It might be the last good pitch you got. You're too sure, and you're too planned. He says, it's not really for you to know the dates of the times. The Father has said by his own authority, but you're going to receive power, and that power going to make you a witness. You're going to receive power, and the first thing the power going to do is change you. In Matthew chapter 18, they come to him and say, who the greatest? Who the baddest? And Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth. Unless you change, unless you apply this to yourself first. Lately, I've been saying to people, and it's not on the screens, and if you're going to quote me, give me credit. But I've been saying to people that people treat Jesus like he's a balm when really he's a bath. We're so busy trying to make him the balm of Gilead. We're so busy trying to put him on a sore when actually you need to get naked first and wash. You're so dirty, we can't even really see where your wound really is. You just want to throw Jesus as lotion on everybody around you, and you ashy. Oh, Lord. You're trying to get Jesus to change your company, and you stink. It's going to take power. And I realize that the first reason for power is I'm looking at me. I'm like, Lord, woo, maybe I can't change the situation. I know this is all, folks are almost like, oh my God, what's this preacher talking about? Maybe you can't change this. Maybe the ability to change it is outside of your power. Maybe it is what it is. Maybe this be what it be. What do you do when you can't change the world? Well, when you can't change the world, you change you. And by you changing, the world changes. And so, it's going to take power. And so, in the last 12, 14 minutes or so that I have left, last 15 minutes, let me give you 7 sources of power. Y'all know I love sevens. Let me give you 7 sources of power. I know you just thinking you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Yeah, I hear that. But what I'm saying is the Holy Ghost is on you now. Because you are in a service and you are listening to someone anointed by the presence and anointed by the Spirit. You're listening to someone prophetic. So this is the Holy Ghost. But when the Lord said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost, he doesn't just mean just Holy Ghost power. He means that the Holy Ghost will bathe you, will cleanse you, will lead you and guide you into truth. So let me give you 7 sources of power, and they apply even to people that aren't Christians. Ooh, God, this is hard. They apply even to folk who may not be Christians. I'm going to apply it to Christians, but if you know folks that aren't Christians or folks who don't believe, you can give them these 7 sources of power, and it'll still work. As a matter of fact, there are many of us who run into people who are more powerful than us, and they don't know Christ. Because
They've tapped into self. They've tapped into this power of change, particularly adaptation, particularly the adaptation of themselves. And there's a whole lot of us that have just exchanged God for weed. We stopped smoking weed and we started smoking Jesus. We stopped clubbing and we started shouting in church. We didn't necessarily face the truth. We just took the opiate of Christianity and decided to use it as a balm over top of all of our mess. We didn't let the Holy Ghost really get down and really figure out what was really going on and really lead us into real truth, because that truth's hard to face. But let me give you these seven. I want to give them all to you, and I'm running out of time. And I'm going to probably deal with them some more, but I'm going to give the seven to you really quickly, and because I want you to get all seven. And if I don't fully explain them, don't worry. Come back next Sunday, and I'll explain them some more. The first one, the first source of power, seven sources of power. The first source of power is family. It's culture. That's number one, family. Family ultimately is culture. The first source of power. You are born into a family, and that family is a part of a culture. Part of what happened to black people, African Americans anyway, those of you in Nigeria, South Africa, Ghana, other parts of the world who have maintained your culture, when you see us, a part of what happened to us is we were denied family. As a result of being denied family, we were denied history. And as a result of being denied history, we've been denied culture. Part of why we're powerless, part of the reason why we are meat for the world, is because we were robbed of family, denied our history, therefore denied our culture. Now, we can look to political power and praise God for who's in the White House. The fact of the matter is, if black people are ever going to be in power, and we can sit around here, hey, I'm just talking about African Americans just for a second, my people. Yeah, I mean, we can cry out to God for him to change the world, or we can change us to adapt to the world. How does that happen, though? Well, the start of it is family. That's the first source of power. For many of us, family is such a negative word, we barely see it as a source of power. But when you're denied family, you're denied your history. And when you're denied your history, you are denied your culture. And without your culture, you're not as powerful. It's one of the reasons why I get upset and I get up in arms with any Christian that wants to use Jesus, any agenda that wants to use Jesus to separate you from your culture. I honestly believe you need to worship with your culture. I think if you're black, you need to go to a black church. I think if you're white, you need to worship with each other. I think if you're Korean, you need to go Korean. The biggest church in the world is Korean. Why? Because they're all Korean. So what I'm saying is what's happened is that there's been an agenda to try to use Jesus to divide you from your own people. But without family and without history and without culture, you're not as strong. That's the first one. I'm going to give you all seven. Here's the second one. The second one is kingdom, sources of power. The second source of power is kingdom. Now, I can also say spirituality. I want to keep it Christian for all the Christians, and I don't want anybody overly mad at me, but the truth of the matter is that spirituality is a source of power. I'll just leave it alone. I won't go there. But what I'm saying is, when I say kingdom, I mean friendship with God. starts with friendship with God. It starts with spiritual connection. It starts with spiritual awareness. It starts with there's a higher power. It starts with I have to submit to that. It starts with I have a connection to God. As a result of that connection to God, there's connection to believers. That's church. Too many of us have that upside down. Our source of kingdom power is connection to church and connected to a denomination and connection to a man. And as a result of that, we get connected to God. But that's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have a connection to God first. Then as a result of that connection to God, as you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship with one another. Now you're connected to a church. Now you find a leader. Kingdom, friendship with God, connection with other believers, and then sacrifice, source of power. Can't deal with it. I got to give you all seven. I'm running out of time. The third source of power is self. Self, family, culture, kingdom. Number three, self. Inner strength is a well of power. You ought to have confidence in yourself. You ought to have strength within yourself. You ought to be okay by yourself. You ought to have a sense of yourself. You ought to understand that purpose drives life. Something about walking in purpose, something about walking in your purpose, it's a source of power. I was watching one of the videos after the latest Super Bowl thing, and everybody, all the Tampa Bay, they're all going crazy, and there's a video where you see Tom Brady over there just getting dressed. He ain't not necessarily celebrating. He ain't drinking no champagne. He not, why? Because he's got a drive. I don't know where. I'm trying to learn. He's got a drive for a purpose that's bigger than the outcome. What's the fourth source of power? I'm going to give you all seven. The fourth source of power is love. And when I say love, I'm not talking about family, because family was the first one. When I'm talking about love, I'm talking about connectivity. Love is a source of power. Connectivity. Your ability to connect, your ability to choose love well. Choosing love well is a source of power. Whole lot of folk robbed of power because they don't choose friends well. Whole lot of folk robbed of power because they don't choose a love partner well. Whole lot of folk robbed of power because they don't choose a leader well. They don't choose a mentor well. They love all the wrong people. Whole lot of folk robbed of power because life has so burned them that their connectivity ends have been burned. They can't connect anymore. They've been hurt too much. Now they can't trust no one. Now they can't be in a relationship with anyone anymore. Now they can't join a church no more. Now they can't follow a leader no more. Now they can't trust a man no more. Now they can't trust a woman no more. Now they don't have no friends because they chose wrong, and now the friendship portal has been burnt, and they by themselves. Hey, you're not going to have as much power by yourself. Pastor Andy, I thought you said I should be all right to be alone. Of course, I'm saying you ought to be all right to be alone. And then when you get by yourself, you ought to be able to find some folk who are like-minded and choose well. Love is a source of power. Number five, what we've been talking about all year so far in 2021, the fifth source of power is knowledge. 3 minutes, knowledge. I'm saying that knowledge is information activated by wisdom. Information activated by wisdom. That's knowledge. It's not just what you know, but it's knowing how to use what you know. It's having the wisdom and the experience and some seasoning and some time and some space so that not only do you know, but you know how to use what you know. But another way that I would describe knowledge, and I'll throw this on the screens for you really quickly, is when I say knowledge, I mean what you know, what you thought you knew, and what you know you don't know. That's knowledge to me. What you know, what you thought you knew. That's got to be in there. You can't forget what you thought you knew and you were wrong. That's a part of knowledge. This is what I know. This is what I thought I knew. And you know what? That's what I don't know at all. There's a whole lot of folk who don't have knowledge because they don't know what they don't know. They don't know that they don't know that. They don't know what they're talking about, and they don't know. Ooh, down to my last two. I'm gonna get there. I got a minute left. Hold with me. Number six, the sixth source of power is faith. Faith. Faith is belief in the unseen. It's not just faith in God. It's faith in the unseen, period. I don't see it yet, but I still believe. I don't have it yet, but I still believe. I've never walked in that, but I still believe. I can step out on nothing and trust. Faith is confidence in the dark moment. Talking to one of my sons, and his wife is pregnant, and she had like a little, like some blood or something. And so, of course, she's pregnant, so they're scared half to death, and they go to the emergency room. Now, she's in the emergency room waiting to be seen, and he's in the parking lot because of COVID waiting to hear from her. And they call me. And before we even got the news that everything was okay, I said to the both of them, if nothing else, I believe the child's going to be all right. I believe the baby's fine. But if nothing else, you just found out something about yourself. You find out stuff about yourself in your dark moment. You find out how confident you are when things don't go your way. Who am I talking to? You find out. That's when you find out. If nothing else, guys, this last 2 to 3 hours has shown you where you are when the world turns over. And then finally, number seven, the seventh source of power is wealth. 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 What you accumulate to launch your line forward. Not just what you got that you can spend. Not just what you got where you bling. No. What have you accumulated that you can leave to launch your line forward? That's a source of power. And those of us who are under the thumb of the wealthy are mad because they have accumulated wealth to launch their line forward, son. They ain't interested in us getting no power. They're trying to make America great again. They're not trying to make a new America. They don't want a new America where everybody has opportunities. They have accumulated this wealth so that they can launch their line forward. Wealth is a source of power. You're at a whole nother level when you got money in the bank. You got a whole nother level when you have assets. You have a whole nother level when you own something outright. You're at a whole nother place of power when you don't need anything. You're not as powerful when you are in need. You're not as strong when you're in need. When you at a place of self where you're like, I have everything I need. In God, I have everything I need, but also I've worked hard. I haven't wasted my youth, and I'm in a place of strength. You had a whole nother source of power when you're not at your weak moment financially. And many of us are at a weak moment financially because we started at a weak moment financially. We're born into lack, born into poverty. How are you going to change that world? Well, change yourself. And decide that wealth done on you, you own it. That wealth is not something that you use to show off. Wealth is something that you use to set your people up for power in the future. Wealth's about legacy. Seven sources of power. With that power, as a result of the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost, he turns the lights on, and I realize there's a whole lot of stuff that's not lined up. And the first thing that's got to change is me. Let's give, my God, right in that moment. Let's give. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to say, oh, Lord, Pastor Andy, I want that power. I got to activate these power. I realize that maybe there's some stuff going on around me right now. I don't really have any say over the vaccines. I don't really have any say over when we're going to open stuff up again. I don't really have any say over that. All right, so I'm facing a world in which change is looking like it's difficult. I'm starting to wonder, can I even adapt? Can I even change the world? Perhaps what God is trying to do is change me. I want to sow into that power. Can I get you to give? I've been taking up this second offering. I'm trying to get you to sow into the word right now. Let me challenge you. Sow into the work of the kingdom of God. Take a step of faith. Take a leap of faith. Believe, all right, I'm going to sow at least $50 into this word that I heard. I'm going to connect myself to this ministry. I'm going to connect myself to this church. I'm going to connect myself to kingdom. I realize sacrifice, wow, that's a source of power. I get connected to the kingdom. I get connected to like-minded believers. I have a relationship with God. Can't have a relationship with God and not sacrifice. Can't have a relationship with God. Can't have a connection with other believers and not give. Can I get you to give? You can just text WOE online. It's on the screens. Text WOE online to 77977. If you didn't give your tithes, you can give your tithes. But this is above your tithes. This is an offering. This is your generosity to the work of the kingdom of God. God promised to bless you so that you can be generous on every occasion. I want to give you an opportunity to be generous. To say, man, I'm sowing. My tithe belongs to God. I'm sowing now. And I'm going to reap what I sow. I'm going to reap more than I sow. I'm going to reap where I sow. And I'm going to sow into the kingdom of God. Reap a harvest. I'm going to sow into this word. And believe God will activate it in my life. And something will take place. God will change me. God will change my situation. There'll be peace and it'll start right here. Come on, let's pray. God, I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to sell. God, even though this whole COVID moment, we've been taking up this second offering. God, I thank you right now that we're not tired yet. Thank you, God, that we're running for Jesus. Thank you, God, that we're sowing right now. Thank you that you're touching someone's heart around the world. They've never given before, but God, you're prompting them not to worship with you with something that costs them nothing. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your anointing will rest on us and that we'll hear from you and that you'll take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. God, for everybody that's sowing in faith, I thank you, God, that we will reap a harvest if we faint not. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done in us in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. So glad you were with us today. We want to see you again Sunday mornings right here. Wednesday nights from my basement. My God, we've been doing some great devotional study, just seeing what the Lord is saying to us, and we want to know that you are with us. Let us know. You are a first-time visitor. Let us know. And share. Get emails from people all the time. Pastor, I don't hear anybody preaching like nobody tells the truth. Like, there's only a few of you that, all right, if that's the case, you can't hear a word like this and not share it. It's easier than ever to share. Every single solitary sermon we do ought to go viral because you ought to be linking it and sharing it to somebody who needs to hear a word on what it means to walk in power. And I believe it, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit came on you today, and as a result of that, you're empowered. Let's pray one more time. God, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for this morning or this afternoon or this evening. Thank you for whatever country, whatever continent, whatever city, whatever town, whatever our situation may be. There's nothing impossible for you. You sit high and you look low. God, stretch forth your hand to heal and work a miracle on our behalf in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, sovereign God, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. And so I'm asking you, God, to bless your people and make your face shine upon your people and be gracious to your people. Favor over your people. Breathe on us. Smile on us. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. My God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you today. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. God bless you. See you next time.